Such a delight to be with you. Celeste, thank you for that song. Beautiful. And thank all of you for your kindness to adjust the time to allow Sam and myself to be here today. We had a nice drive up from Middle Tennessee and got my granddaughter married last night. We've had a good weekend. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2. Ecclesiastes, chapter 2. Solomon was a man that the Lord greatly, greatly blessed with wisdom. He asked Solomon, he said, what would you have me give you? And Solomon said, I would like for you to give me wisdom. Rule over your people. The Lord said, because you didn't ask for your enemies, riches. He said, I'm going to give you those things, but I'm going to give you what you want. But as I've been looking at the book of Ecclesiastes, I've seen something that I'd like to try to share with you this morning. I'm going to look at the second chapter of Ecclesiastes. And as we're looking at this chapter, I've realized that there was something that the Lord graciously taught Solomon and teaches his people. He teaches us all the vanity, vexation of spirit that comes to a believer when they try to consider anything in this world except God's glory, God's honor. Solomon was by wisdom. He was taught some of these beautiful lessons that we all need. But oh, what a price he had to pay. You know, when you first think of Solomon receiving wisdom from the Lord, you think, wow, just to be able to make decisions and know by the grace of God these things. But as we look at this second chapter, there's 12 chapters in Ecclesiastes, but you look at this second chapter, and I pray that the Lord's pleased to bless it and teach us something concerning these things. Now, I'd like to look at, I want us first of all to look at the conclusion that Solomon came to in this chapter, which is in verses 24 to 26. I want to look first, I just want to read the conclusion. Then I'm going to go back, and Lord willing, I'm going to start at verse 1 and just kind of just touch on each verse of Scripture and consider the things that he experienced to come to the conclusion that we're about to read. And then lastly, I want us to look at the conclusion one more time. Spend a lot of time on the conclusion is what I want to do. But here's the conclusion. Ecclesiastes 2:24, there's nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. Now that was his conclusion. And we'll look at it again. Lord, we'll look at it in just a minute. At that conclusion again. But in the first chapter, and I'll just tell you this. You go back and read the first chapter for the sake of time. Solomon in the first chapter concerning the wisdom that the Lord had given him, he came to some of these observations. He noticed that one generation comes and another generation soon takes its place. He noticed that the sun rises and sets, all according to God's timing, God's power, providence. He noticed that the wind blows in a continual pattern and that it returns to the origin. Notice that there was a pattern to all of the trade winds. He noticed that the rivers run into the sea, but the sea's never full. Just everything's on its course. And then he saw that man was never satisfied with what he sees, what he hears. And I've had people talk about, if I could just tour the world, I'd like to go to Paris. I'd like to go, Solomon said, I realize that man sees these things, hears these things, but he never finds any satisfaction in them. And he said, I noticed that the details of things that were happening in a given generation, we know them. We watch the news right now, and this and said this, and election coming up, and that said, all these details that's going on right now. He said, nobody's going to remember this. It's all going to, Then he noticed that everything that God had made that was crooked. Now what this means is everything that God has made according to his good providence and power that man thinks is crooked. Man can't fix that. Man, y'all might know a little bit about kudzu. Down in the south, years ago, they decided they're going to get some kudzu from somewhere. Argentina, I think. Doug, you may know. I don't know where they got it. But anyway, kudzu, that was going to help the ground erosion. Well, it helped ground erosion, but it killed everything else. It just covers everything. What God has made, what man considers crooked, can't fix that. And that with much wisdom, Solomon said, is much grief. So, with all of his efforts to discover wisdom, when he went through, I'm almost wanting to just go back through the first chapter again and just tell you what he said. But here's what he wanted to do. He said, with much wisdom. He didn't want to just know stuff. He wanted to know why. Why did it happen? To study trees and flowers. But how do these things come about? I want to study the innermost beings of everything. He said, but much wisdom, sorrow increases. And so here he's come now to this second chapter. And he realized that through the study, the trials of study and study and trying to get wisdom that God had given him, he said it was just vanity. It was just vain and vexation of spirit. It just grieved me. Well, now here he is. He's in the second chapter. And he said, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. Now he's good. Now he's doing this by wisdom. He's not lost control of God's given him wisdom. And now what he's going to do, he said, I want by wisdom. He said, I want to do something now. I couldn't find satisfaction in studying all of these nature and the sun and the patterns and knowing why the winds blow and where they come from. Go back to it. I couldn't find it. But now what I want to do is I'm going to go a different approach. What I'm going to do is I want to just have a happy activity. That's what I'm going to do. I want to do things that are fun. I'm going to do things that just makes my life easy. I want to be on a constant vacation. That's what I want to do. I'm going to have this constant state of pleasure. All of the study and the arduous beings. But now, I'm going to find it by having this constant effort of just satisfying myself with pleasure. He said, I realized that always wanting to go on another vacation. You know, you plan. You know the best time of vacation is planning it. I'm so excited. You know, we're leaving in 2 weeks. Man, we got one more week. Now you get there, and it's okay. I mean, it's okay, but it was not as good as the anticipation. And by the end of the week or 2 weeks or whatever, I want to go home. I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, verse 2, it's mad. And of mirth, what doeth it? He said, laughter, it was mad. It mocked me. What it did. Laughter mocked me. Laughter boasted itself. He's saying, I'm going to satisfy you. We just want to be happy all of the time. And mirth, that continual pursuit of merriment and pleasure. But that at the expense of responsibility is a serious, treacherous delusion. He says, there's nothing wrong. Let me tell you this. There's nothing wrong with taking some time and having a little rest and relaxation. Sammy and I was talking about this coming up. I told him, I said, I look so forward just to being able to take a few days off. But this is what Solomon came to the conclusion of. Though there's nothing wrong with resting, it's good. But not at the expense all the time. At the expense of doing that which is honorable, right, concerning the glory of God. It's dangerous. He said in verse 3, I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine. It was banquet. He wasn't a drunkard. But banqueting is what he was doing. Yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, he said, I wanted to give myself to the banquet. A lot of times I watch these shows on TV. They're people are looking for a new house, and they'll have a realtor, and they'll take them around. And the realtor will say, well, what are you looking for? Well, we'd like a three-bedroom, two-bath. We like to do a lot of entertaining. That seemed like to me everybody, that's what they want to do. Everybody wants to have room to open concept. And we do a lot of entertaining. This is what Solomon said. I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of man which they should do under the heavens all the days of their life. He said, I want to, within the bounds of wisdom. Now, I want to make sure we don't misunderstand. He's doing this. God is teaching him something to show him and us these things of that are vain and vanity. He said, I gave myself, I wanted the best food. I love steak. If it's a good one. And if it's tough, I don't like it. I mean, I like it. I like it, but I don't like it. He said, I gave myself to the best food, the best drink, to lay hold upon folly, to set my heart upon these things, to see if there was something good in it that would sustain a man for the rest of his life. And what did he do? Look at 4 to 6. Here's what I did. He said, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. And I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. He made all of these works, all of these things. He did what he did with great zeal. He did what he did according to his ability, according to his wealth, and nothing was spared. He had money. He had plenty of money. And he's going to create a paradise. I want you to come out, you know, and look at this. You know, people, if you like to raise gardens, you know what's fun? what's enjoyable. Y'all come out here and look at my garden. Come out here and look at this. I made me I didn't actually, but people say, you know, they like to golf. You know, I made me a putting green. I made me a, you know, and he said, I made everything that I wanted to make according to my ability. He said in verse 7, he said, I got me servants and maidens. I had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. Everything that he built had to be maintained, had to be kept. So he did what he did by maintaining it. He got him some servants. He bought him some servants. And he had some people born in his house to attend to the works that he had done, the daily provision for his household. That, no problem. He had magnificent possessions, it said, of great and small cattle. He had beef, and he had his sheep, he had goats, above all that came before him in Jerusalem. He said, I had it. I had the stuff. Look at verse 8. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and the provinces, and I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments. And that of all sorts, he said. Solomon had turned to 1 Kings 10:4. 1 Kings 10:4. The scripture declares that whenever... I said 10:4. I meant 14. I'm sorry. I'll read you. This is where the Queen of Sheba came to see him, but here's the conclusion. She saw everything she saw. She said, the half of it wasn't told me. But look, 1 Kings 10:14. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603.6 talents of gold. Now, you know, you're just going to have to kind of go by whatever somebody that you trust tells you concerning this. It's got all kinds of different, you know, interpretations of how much was a talent then, how much do they figure a talent is now, but to the best of my ability, and if somebody finds out differently, that's okay. I'll acquiesce to whatever you say. But here's the thing. To the best of my ability, I think it was John Gill that said this, that basically this 666 talents of gold that would come in a year, 25 tons of gold. I tried to take my phone, and I figured $1,800 an ounce for gold. And I tried, David. I tried to figure that my phone wouldn't even give me a number. It was some strange, like 9E, 25 tons of gold. Solomon said, he said, verse 8, I gathered me also silver and gold and all the peculiar treasures of kings, provinces, men singers. He said, I had choirs. I had choirs that were employed with me, and these singers and the delights of the sons of men, referring to these musical instruments. He said, I had everything. I had all of it. He says in verses 9 and 10, so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. This is very key. Understand this. He's not losing control of this. The Lord's teaching him something. The Lord's given him something. He's given him wisdom. But he has all these other things. The Lord said, I'm going to give you all these other things that you didn't ask for. But all the lesson that he's learning. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. He said, I was great. He said, I was great in wealth. I was great in importance. Can you imagine somebody like Solomon living in, you know, in your, you know, wherever you were? And I mean, everybody knew who Solomon was here, but here again, by wisdom, Solomon, from all the things that this world could offer, He's seeking all of this pleasure. I'm going to find out if pleasure is the key. Is that what's going to make a man happy? He said, whatsoever my heart desired, I got it. I bought it. I had the resources to do it. I've tried it all. He said in verse 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Here he was taught the reality of our foolish pursuits. That which we think is going to give us sustaining pleasure and satisfaction. We dream that if I had this or if I had that, if I had that, that would be the catch me out. If I had that right there, it would be all I need if I could just get that. Solomon said, I had it all. I had it all. He said, you can't even think of it that I didn't think of it. And he said, here's what it is. It's empty. It's empty. It's hollow. It's disappointing. You come down to getting ready to take your last breath. What matter? What does it matter what you got? What you live in or what you drive or what you got in the bank? What difference does it make? Verses 12 to 16. I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath been already done. Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light as excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head. The fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? And I said in my heart, that this is also vanity. For there's no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. Here he's coming to this point, and he said, I realize that everything that I've tried momentarily gives a man somewhat pleasure, but he said it's vain pleasure. There's nothing to it. He said, what can a man do that's going to come after me? If I've done and tried it all, and I've found that none of it gave me any lasting pleasure, he said, wisdom excels folly. Oh, it's better to be wise than to be a fool. He said, it's like the light that excels in darkness. It's better for a man to have some integrity about him than for him to go through life as a fool. That's better. But when it's all said and done, here's what he said in those verses right there. He was looking at verse 15. Then I said in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. You know what he's talking about? We're all going to die. We're all going to die. I had a son that by marriage that sent me a little thing on my phone the other day, and it showed this big mansion, big huge mansion. And out in front of it was a grave, and then it showed just a little shack, and out in front of it was a grave. That's what Solomon said. All this stuff that we're going after, all of it that we're seeking after, he said, it's all going to come down to absolutely nothing. all the things of this world. He said in verse 17, therefore I hated life, because the work that was wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. For all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Solomon said, I hated life. He didn't hate that which the Lord graciously gives. The sun, the rain, the air to breathe. But he hated what this world promised would give pleasure. He hated that which the world promised but could not produce. Peace, satisfaction. He hated it because he said, I realize now that there's no happiness to be enjoyed in what this world gives. Setting your heart on this, he said, I did that. Verses 18 to 23. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I've labored, wherein I've showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there's a man whose labor is in wisdom and knowledge and equity, yet to a man that hath not labored, therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what man of all his labor, all the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun, for all his days are sorrows and his travail grief, yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. Here's what he said. All the works that Solomon had done, he did them in wisdom, according to the wisdom of God. And he was truly seeking, and the Lord was truly teaching him. And here he said, all these things that I did honestly, with integrity, and he said, I know that they were profitable to many. I gave a lot of people jobs, and they enjoyed the fruit. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the fruit of a man's labor, but he saw these things to be what I've been talking about. There was no lasting satisfaction. And he said, what's happening is this: I know I'm going to die. And he wrestled at night with this thought, day and night. He mentioned night. He said, the things that I've been able, by the grace of God, to produce or accomplish, what if somebody comes after me? Somebody's going to get this stuff. Somebody is going to have the management of this stuff. And what if these things that have been produced and brought about, what if it's a fool that gets them? And all the labor that I did is going to be turned over to somebody else, and they're just going to squander it, is all they're going to do if they don't have any sense of responsibility about him. And he couldn't sleep about it. Now he's worried about it. You know, everything's always worse at night. Man, if the sun would just come up. And when the sun comes up, it seems to get a little bit better. But here's he's struggling, and see, therefore he said, I hated my labor. Now I've hated Samuel that I did all this. And I'm disgusted with what it took to produce them. I saw that they gave nothing back. They promised me pleasure. They promised me. They just made fun of me. Well, now I'm back to my third point. I want to come to the conclusion again and see what the Lord was pleased to teach Solomon. The scripture declares, Solomon said in verse 24, there's nothing better Now, this is a man that had everything, worldly speaking. He knew God. And God knew him. There's nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. As I said a moment ago, there's nothing wrong. You go out, you work hard, get a job, be responsible. Woman, if she chooses to be one that stays home and takes care of her home and keeps it up, keeps it clean, makes it, you know, her husband comes home, eats, he has him something to eat, and stuff like that. And she provides, if they have children, they provide. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with it. It's nothing better that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw. It's from the hand of God. He said this. He said, I realize that God has created man with a work ethic. It worked. Turn to Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26. Man was created in the image of God. And the scripture says, in the beginning, God created. God worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God Almighty orders and designs and produces. And man was created that way. Men, women, we need to work. There's an ethic about work. Genesis 1, 26, 28. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over everything that moveth upon the earth. Look at chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So there's a, according to the scriptures, the Lord has given men from the hand of God the blessing to be able to, with the understanding that we are to seek the Lord our God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Solomon said, I've tried all of these things, and there's nothing better. There's nothing better. And for a man to be able to eat, drink, enjoy the good of his labor, seeking God Almighty first, to enjoy the bounty of his labor, there's nothing better, he said, than that. If the Lord increases and blesses a man's efforts, and he's able to have an increase in some riches. If riches increased, what's the next part? Don't set your heart on it. Don't set your heart. Don't let your life revolve around those things, but rather use them to the glory of God. Let those things. Let a man give. And give, it'd be given unto him. God promises that. But you know what we say? No, I got to hang on. I can't, you know how the economy is now. God Almighty is going to bless his people. He's promised, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Is there anything wrong with enjoying the fruit? No. Lord says it's nothing better. Back in Ecclesiastes 2, look at verse 25. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? Now here's Solomon. He's talking about this. He said, man, ought to know. He's being taught these things. Now, he said, I'm telling you that there's nothing better than to eat and drink and enjoy. For who can eat, or who else can enjoy the pleasures more than me? He said, I know. I'm not telling you something that's just a theory to me. I know what it is to have. And I'm telling you by wisdom, There's nothing better than to be satisfied with that which the Lord's pleased to give. There's nothing better than that. It said in verse 26, "For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight. He gives him wisdom. He gives him knowledge. He gives him joy. But to the sinner, that man that doesn't know God, he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give it to him that's good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit." Now, here's a wonderful truth in closing that the Lord has been pleased to teach us. The Lord giveth to a man that is good in his sight. You say, "Well, I thought that none was good. No, not one. No, born in Adam there isn't. There's none good. No, not one. But found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has chosen a people in Christ before the foundation of the world that they should be holy. Holy. And without blame before Him in love. And a believer is going to say, I look at myself and I don't see that. I don't see that part." Well, we're not the one doing the looking. God Almighty sees His Son, sees us in Him, robed in His righteousness. We've been given faith to believe God. And now Solomon says, "God giveth to a man that is good in his sight. He gives him wisdom. He gives him Christ, the wisdom of God. He gives the vessels of his mercy, the Son. He that hath the Son hath life." Secondly, those that are found to be good in the Lord Jesus Christ, he says he gives them knowledge. Do you know the blessing of knowing something? First of all, about ourselves. He gives us some knowledge. The Apostle Paul said this concerning himself. Romans 7:18, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." The Lord's going to give His people. He's going to give them some wisdom. He's going to give them some knowledge. We have some knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:6, "God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus." Solomon found that this world gives no lasting riches, but gives us some knowledge and some understanding of the true riches. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to wrap this up. Ephesians chapter 1. Now here's some riches right here. Ephesians 1, passage that we're all familiar with. Ephesians 1:4, "According as He's chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." Now listen to these riches. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He's made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself." And then lastly, He gives us wisdom. He gives us knowledge back in Ecclesiastes 2:26. And He gives us joy. Joy. Romans 14:17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Here's joy. being able, by the grace of God, to trust Him. Given faith to believe. To trust Him alone for salvation and righteousness before God, we have reason to be joyful unto the Lord for His mercy. We were driving up a little bit ago and I told Sammy, I said, think about the privilege. I said, I know it's tiring. And, you know, we had a long day yesterday and we had all the preparation that had been done. All the women did everything. We just showed up. Men just showed up. It was still tiring for us, you know. But we had that, you know, that wedding yesterday and Sammy and I were trying to help my daughter Sarah to do some things around the house and that she's wanted to get done. And then we got up this morning at dark and got on the road and drove up here. And Lord willing, after this, we'll probably go get a bite to eat and we're going to turn around and drive 4 hours back, you know. I told him, I said, do you realize the joy of wanting to do that? Of having a heart to want to do that? That Almighty God would give us a heart to want to come and be with God's people. There's nothing better, Solomon said, nothing better. Be able to eat and drink, enjoy the fruit of your labor. God gives to His people. He gives them wisdom, gives them knowledge, gives them joy. We have it all. We got it all. We are the circumcision, Paul said, which worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. What joy to not have to trust me for anything. I pray God bless this to our hearts for His glory and our good. Amen.